Captain Janeway's Guide to Dealing with Intruders on Your Ship. Written by Alchemic Inc. and read by Blue Dreaming. Step 1. Ascertain the situation. Catherine sips her coffee on the bridge, relishing a rare, quiet moment on the ship. Voyager's cruising at a comfortable impulse speed while the crew gathers more data about the region of space they're passing through. Sensors are still picking up that strange echo, Harry reports from his station. Nothing that should interfere with ship operations, but it's still weird. Well, we've always been a bit of a weird magnet, Chakotay chimes in, giving Catherine a wry grin. Catherine chuckles, her mind already conjuring up no less than 3 memories of their travels in the last 2 months alone that could be classified as weird. As long as it continues to pose no threat to the ship, I'm happy to continue investigating the phenomenon, she replies. Famous last words, Tom teases from the helm. You probably just jinxed it. Not even a moment later, the familiar voice of the ship's cook chimes in over the comm. Neelix to Captain Janeway. Catherine taps her comm badge to reply. Go ahead, Mr. Neelix. I have a bit of a problem down here in the mess hall. At that, Tom turns around, eyes wide and mouths, told you so. What kind of problem? Catherine prompts, ignoring the helmsman for now. Well, I'm not quite sure if it's a problem with the artificial gravity or I'm just going crazy, but there are a bunch of things floating around the kitchen, like levitating and, you know, stuff like that. There's a quiet scuffling noise over the channel, like Neelix had just ducked out of the way for something. Ship's haunted, Tom says immediately. I'm not picking up any malfunctions in the mess hall, Harry chimes in. Artificial gravity should be fine. I'm currently watching 3 Leola roots fly through the air like an invisible person is juggling them. That description immediately rings some sort of alarm bell in Catherine's head, the one that says an intruder has infiltrated her ship without an invitation. But she'll need some confirmation first before she shares a ship-wide alert. With a sigh, she sets down her coffee mug, knowing she's not going to have time to finish it before it gets cold. Something tells me it's not a ghost, she says. Tuvok, let's go investigate. Chakotay, you have the bridge. Tom, try not to scare everyone with ghost stories while we're gone. Aye, Captain, Tom replies with a grin, just as the turbolift doors close. Step 2. Determine if friend or foe. Catherine steps into the mess hall and is greeted by the sight of Neelix crouched by the counter with a frying pan in hand to defend himself if necessary. Status report, she commands. Neelix glances up. Hi, Captain, Mr. Vulcan. Glad to see you both. The mystery intruders are currently trying to see how high they can stack on my best cooking pots. Tuvok raises an eyebrow and then leans over the counter to survey the kitchen. A moment later, he nods in confirmation. It does indeed seem like we have intruders on board, he reports. Shall I call in one of my security teams? Catherine shakes her head. No, let's wait until we figure out their intentions first. She's had plenty of uninvited guests on her ship before to know that the best plan of action is to gather as much information as possible. If they turn out to be friendly, then first contact gets a little easier. If they turn out to be aggressive, then she has a plan of action to combat them. She eyes Neelix's frying pan. Have they been threatening at all since you noticed them? She asks. Neelix shakes his head. No, just mildly frustrating. It's kind of difficult to cook when your ingredients keep flying away. A couple of pranksters, huh? She guesses. Tuvok audibly sighs at that revelation, and it's the closest to an emotional response Catherine has seen from him in ages, not since the time the doctor tried to rope the whole senior staff into a sing-along. Remind you of your teaching days at the academy, Catherine teases her old friend. The behavior of the intruder so far is consistent with irreverent young people, Tuvok agrees. Too bad you can't assign them extra homework, Neelix adds, laughing. A sudden crashing noise interrupts the conversation. Catherine turns to see that the stack of pots finally got unwieldy enough to clatter to the floor. She feels something invisible brush past her, and then watches as the doors to the mess hall open and close on their own. Or maybe you can scare them with the mention of homework, Catherine says. Apparently some things are universal, no matter what part of the galaxy you're traveling through. Step 3. Try diplomacy. It doesn't take long for them to track down where the intruders went. The doctor calls a few moments later to complain about his medical equipment suddenly flying around the room. Catherine strides into sick bay with all of the confidence of a seasoned captain ready to make first contact. It's the kind of thing that's become a routine part of her career at this point, although usually she's at least able to see the people she's trying to talk to. "Stop that," the doctor chides an empty patch of air. "Those hyposprays are sensitive medical devices." Catherine surveys the room. The aforementioned hyposprays are flying back and forth as if the intruders are playing a game of catch. The doctor is becoming increasingly exasperated. "Captain, I'm so glad you're here. Can you make whatever this is stop?" The doctor makes several agitated hand gestures at the floating equipment. Tuvok reaches out and snags the hyposprays before they reach their next destination. He returns them to the doctor, who mutters as he stomps off to return them to their proper locations. Catherine puts her hands on her hips and addresses the intruders, or at least addresses their approximate direction, hopefully. She sort of wishes Tuvok hadn't taken the hyposprays. "I'm Captain Catherine Janeway of the Federation Starship Voyager, and usually it's common courtesy to say hello when you infiltrate someone's ship." She waits for a response. She glances over at Tuvok, but he only shakes his head, unable to tell if the intruders are still there either. "We'd like to be friends if you would like to show yourselves," she continues, "and I'd appreciate it if you'd stop causing trouble for me and my crew." Again, silence. Though Catherine swears she might have heard a muffled giggle or two. Then, just as it had in the mess hall earlier, she feels something brush past her towards the door. It opens and shuts as the intruders make their escape again. "Well, they don't seem very talkative," Catherine remarks, and then turns to the doctor. "Let us know if they return." The doctor sighs from Marie's meticulously examining each hypospray. "Unless they come down with an illness, I hope I don't have to see them again at all." He reconsiders, realizing that "see" isn't quite the right word for the situation. "Oh, you know what I mean." "Right," Catherine nods, thinking about the problem at hand. "It's about time we figure out a way to make your uninvited guests visible." She parts ways with Tuvok, and then taps her comm badge to declare, "Intruder alert." That ought to get their attention. Step 4. If diplomacy fails, enact containment measures. Catherine strides into engineering without missing a beat. Vilana and Seven are already huddled around a console, focused on the work she'd assigned them. Catherine announces her presence with a quick status report. Vilana looks up while Seven continues tapping at the console. "I've talked to Harry about the weird sensor echo, and our theory is that there's a cloaked ship, or ships, out there. The sensors are bouncing off whatever's hiding the ships. We figure the intruders are using the same tech to hide themselves, too." Vilana gestures towards Seven. "I think we've almost figured out a way to pinpoint their location on the ship." Seven doesn't even look up from what she's doing as she chimes in with, "The intruders seem to be able to transport themselves short distances. Once I figure out how to disable that technology too, we'll be able to keep them contained behind a level 10 force field." "Sounds like a good plan," Catherine nods. "The last report we had was that the intruders were messing around in the shuttle bay," Vilana continues. "Lieutenant Ayala said they were drawing smiley faces on the windows." "Tuvok and I did speculate they might be teenagers," she replies, then adds with a chuckle, "I hope Naomi isn't this rebellious when she gets that age." "You don't even want to know what kind of trouble I was causing as a teenager," Vilana laughs too. "When I was that age, I was performing regular maintenance on a Borg cube," Seven adds. Vilana frowns, clearly not knowing how to respond to that. Catherine isn't quite sure what to say either, but they really don't have time to properly address Borg-related childhood trauma at the moment. So, instead, what she says is, "Well, Seven, I think you're well overdue for learning how to play a popular teenage pastime, hide-and-seek. Once you get those tricorders calibrated, I'll show you how to play." Seven raises an eyebrow, clearly skeptical. Then the console beeps, and she makes a handful of quick adjustments before nodding. "We should be able to detect and deactivate their cloaking and teleportation devices now," she declares. A moment later, Chakotay chimes in over the comm system to let them know about a new report of strange happenings in one of the cargo bays. "All right," Catherine says. "The game is simple. Whoever finds the intruders first wins." Step 5. Send the intruders packing. It takes roughly an hour before the crew manages to contain the intruders. Instead of hide-and-seek, it felt more like a wild goose chase. It was surprisingly more fun than Catherine expected, though she'll keep that tidbit of information for her personal log only. Everyone who was available helped out in the chase. Tom tried to set up a trap on Deck 8, but they managed to give him the slip. Neelix tried enticing them with several toys he'd borrowed from Naomi, but the intruders weren't interested. Tuvok and one of his security teams thought they'd cornered them in a turbo lift on Deck 3, but those crafty teens had merely set up a decoy as a distraction. Mary tried searching through the Jeffries tubes, but didn't have any success, and Catherine secretly suspects he might have gotten lost in there for a bit. B'Elanna staked out an area by the holodeck, but they seemed to have avoided that part of the ship completely, and Seven stayed in engineering, using the sensors to keep track of their progress. In the end, Catherine was the one who managed to snag the intruders. Two teens, she confirmed, as soon as she turned their cloaks off, in the astrometrics lab just as they were trying to reprogram the computer to draw silly images within the constellation maps. But before she's much of a chance to reintroduce herself and start asking the two questions about their business on her ship, Chakotay messages her from the bridge that the parents have shown up and are looking to collect their errant kids. After that, she's swept up for a while in the usual first contact procedures and listens as the exasperated parents explain that sneaking onto passing ships is an unfortunately popular hobby for many of the young people, almost a bit like a rite of passage, even though the adults have been discouraging it for years. The parents make the kids apologize for causing trouble, and Catherine has to hide a smile as they reluctantly grumble out the words. With the whole situation settled, Catherine returns back to the bridge with a fresh cup of coffee in hand. "Guess we solved the mystery of the weird sensor echo," Harry says from his station. "Just a bunch of cloaked ships passing by, and no ghosts." Tom just shrugs with a sly grin as though this explanation doesn't rule out the possibility of other supernatural phenomena. Catherine chuckles and turns to Seven, who's just arrived on the bridge to take her usual station. "So, Seven, how did you enjoy your first game of hide-and-seek?" Seven looks unimpressed. "It left something to be desired." "Well, there's always next time," Chakotay says, exchanging an amused look with Catherine. "Right," Seven replies. "Next time." "Captain, I think it's time we reviewed our security protocols and how well Voyager's shields function. As I've been reading through the ship's logs, I see that we have a problem with intruders quite often." "It's not that often," Catherine protests. But Seven continues. "There was the incursion by the Vidians,
the Kazon,
the entity known as Suspiria, the aliens performing medical experiments on us, the alien who replaced us one by one, the Hirogen, Q, the macrovirus, species 8472, Okay, Catherine says, raising a hand to get Seven to stop recounting the past several years of strange encounters. "Point taken. Tuvok will look into it, and you're welcome to assist him." Seven nods, satisfied. "You know," Chakotay speaks up again, "the prankster teenagers were a nice change of pace from all those other invasions." "True," Catherine agrees, taking another sip of coffee as Voyager continues its cruise through space. "But no matter what, it's always good to be prepared and have a plan. Maybe one day she'll write down some notes on the subject." The end.